Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
John 10 and 10, a very familiar verse and one of my favorites. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and they might have life more abundantly. I'm preaching on the subject, the discovery of God's abundance. The discovery of God's abundance. Most people live and die without ever knowing the abundance of God. And also many Christians that are saved live and die without ever realizing the abundance of God. He is an abundant God. And His invitation to us is that we bask in His abundance. That we are not meager beggars of His deity, but we are partakers of His divine nature. You may be seated. The story of Job is an amazing story of all the things that he went through. But there is also a wonderful epitaph by God Himself when He said, in all of this, Job sinned not. And then He has a phrase following that that is pregnant with power. And that is, he sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. It was not that charging God foolishly was not a sin. It is a fact that it is a sin so grievous and serious that God put it in a category all by itself. The Bible talks about one unpardonable sin. It's called the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. And that is exactly what that is charging God foolishly. The greatest liability of most religions, they define God according to their own bias. Whatever that is, even in the different denominations, they define God according to what they know and what they have been taught and what their family believes and what they have come to believe. The Bible warns us of that in great gravity in Romans chapter 1. Make a study of chapter 1 of the book of Romans sometimes, and you'll find out that it's talking about San Antonio, May 2018. Romans 1:23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. We do not have the luxury or the latitude of making God what we think He should be. God is well defined in the Scripture, and that is the only definition of God that is legal. All other is fake news. And so when you charge God foolishly, it means that you're charging God with something that He's not responsible for. You're blaming God for a mission and an omission that He was not responsible for. You're charging Him for a commission that He had nothing to do with. And God calls it charging God foolishly and lists it all by itself. It is very serious. When man represents the nature and image of God and misrepresents that image, it continues in this very first chapter of Romans, tells us what the result is. And when you see so many people today that are just beyond the pale of explanation, how they can be so evil, how they can be so vile, how they can be filled so hatred, it's defined in the very next verse. When you misrepresent God, this is the next step. Wherefore, God also gave them up. The worst thing that can happen to a human being is that God gives them up to the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And so when a person misrepresents God, the next logical step is that God just turns away from them. Religion misrepresents God. They picture God as an augur, as a Jekyll, as a Hyde, as a mean, mean God. And that starts in many cases, in many churches, and in many homes. It starts at a very early age, and it imprints that child. What happens in the first hours, days, weeks of a creation indelibly infects that person or even that animal. If you want to have gentle horses, if you can get to them the moment that they are born, and you can cuddle them and you can pet them for an hour or two. It's called imprinting. That's the term of it. If you can do that, and you can do that the following days, that foal will grow up to be a very gentle horse. But if you never touch them for the first year and your first touch is rough, and the animal will respond to that in a negative way, and you've got a problem horse. And so the same thing is true. If you take a child and you misrepresent God to them in the early days of their Sunday school classes or their catechism, or even at the dinner table in your home, and they get a misconception of God, they are imprinted for life, and it takes a miracle to unimprint what has been put in them and what they believe about God. And so religion misrepresents God. God is a good God, but he's got some poor representations of him. People that misrepresent him terribly. And generally, it's not out of a cruel nature. It's simply out of ignorance. And because they've been taught that way, they represent God that way. Like I said, most people live and die, and they never discover God's abundance, even believers. But the Bible teaches us that we must get a true picture of God. And the Bible said, without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must reprogram our brain to see God as a rewarder, not as a God that is seeking vengeance, not as a God that holds a grudge, not as a God that is waiting to get even for all of our missteps, deeds, and sins, but a God that is a rewarder of them that will see him as he is, and he will bless them abundantly. When we look at the word abundantly, Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and it more abundantly. When we look at the word abundantly in Greek, it is a wonderful word. It is pronounced in the Greek perissos. P-E-R-I-S-S-O-S, and it means the sense of beyond. It means bigger than you can think. That's what abundant means, bigger than you can think. You can have the greatest thought, and that abundance in that Greek means more than you can think. The most glorious concept you can have, what God comes to bring to you, is bigger than that. It means super abundant, not only in quantity, but in quality. It means it's going to have a great quality and there's going to be lots of it. And so, friend, if you've been blessed of the Lord and the devil's come along to condemn you and said, how can you have that beautiful dress when there are women in Africa that don't have anything to wear? That's the devil. You having a beautiful dress has nothing to do with the nakedness of a person in Africa. You having a great car has nothing to do with somebody in San Antonio that's walking. Because God does not have to rob you to bless somebody else. Because he is a God of abundance. He is a God of reservoir. He is a God of depth. He is a God of abundance. He is a God of overflow. And we have to work all of our life to deprogram ourselves from some of the things that we got taught when we were young. You know, if you do that, God's going to get you for that. Don't motivate your children like that. Don't implant in your children that God is a mean God, that his sole purpose for their life is to deprive them and to keep them from partaking. That's what is implanted through religion. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said that's what the other guy does. He comes to steal and to kill and to deprive and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and it more abundantly. We need to be thinking about our God as a rich father, as a benevolent father, as a loving father that lives for one purpose, and he lives for his children to bless them coming in and going out. And God's greatest joy is to bless you abundantly. And then the Bible said he wants to exceed that abundance. You say, I've got a good life now. Let me let you in on a secret. No matter how good your life is, no matter how great your health is, no matter how wonderful your marriage is, no matter how much money you got in the bank, no matter how happy you are, you haven't pleased God yet, because God wants to overflow you with prosperity. God wants to overflow you with joy. God wants to overflow you with peace. God wants to overflow you with reconciliation to Him and to your life's companion. He is a God of abundance. But we have to discover the abundance of God and realize that that's on God's agenda every day. When you got up in the morning, God was saying, how can I bless them more than they've ever been blessed? But God has a real problem, and the problem is not Him. The problem is us. The Bible teaches us that Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. And if we let ourselves think the wrong thoughts about God, we limit the Holy One of Israel that wants to distribute His abundance in our life. Why did Jesus come to this earth? We surely know that He came to die for sinners. He came to rescue all of us from hell. And He came to take us to a place called heaven. We understand that. But there's one more thing that Jesus came to do. And that is that He came to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. When you realize that there's something beyond your reach, it's wonderful to be married to a short woman. She'll make you feel like a hero every day. Steve, can you reach up on that shelf and get that for me? And I just feel like I'm Superman. I do not admit that I could be replaced with a 6-inch stool she could step up on. Just makes me feel great. And friend, there are things that are beyond your reach. And every day you need to be saying, God, I can't do that for myself, but I know that You want me to have it. And so, Lord, can You reach that for me? Can You hand that down to me? And that thrills God. It makes God exceedingly glad that He can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Jesus came to make us the best us we can be. I love what Creflo said when he said, God wants to put the super on your natural. That's exactly what God does. You are a natural person, and in your natural things, you're smart, you're good looking, you've accomplished some things, you went to college, you've got a degree, you've got a good job making 3 times what your nearest kin folks makes. You're amazing, but that's still all natural. Now what's going to happen when God puts the super on your natural? Praise God. You're going to become your own hero, super figure, praise God. And you're going to say, hey, look what the Lord has done inside of me. We need to discover the abundance that God has for us. Without God, we are an inferior us. Let me say it again slowly. Without God, we are an inferior us. There is a person that God made in His image, but we will never be the image. We will never be the person in the image that God has in us until we include Him in us. And then when we include God in us, we become that image that God had when we were formed in our mother's womb. We do that by discovering the abundance of Almighty God. Without God, we are an inferior us, a limited us. But God can fix that if we will take the limits off. Do not limit the Holy One of Israel. Psalm 78. There's a big deal for somebody tonight in this building. Somebody's going to take off their limits. You said, could it happen on a Wednesday night service with just a small crowd compared to our Sunday crowds? It doesn't matter about the day of the week. It doesn't matter about the numerical congregation. If you can hear the Word of God and let the Word of God take root in your heart, this could be the biggest night of your life. It could be a real big deal. Praise God. God wants to do something for you. Somebody that is mediocre, God wants to make you magnificent. Somebody that is sick, God wants to make you well. Somebody that has lived with a chronic condition, God wants to stop that condition tonight. Somebody that has been beneath all of your life is suddenly going to move from beneath to above. Somebody that's been at the back is going to move to the front. Somebody that's been the tail is going to become the head, because it's just a revelation is all it is. It's just a revelation when you discover the abundance of God and what kind of God we serve. You will shake off all of your religious skin, and you will stand as a new creature in Christ Jesus, knowing that there's absolutely no limitations to what you can accomplish, because Jesus is a winner, and He is the firstborn, and He created you in His image, and He created you not to be a loser, but to be a winner. Somebody give God a big praise in this auditorium tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so very quickly, let us look at some of these things. When we look at the man with the withered hand in the synagogue, it's an interesting thing. When Jesus goes to church, church is never normal. If you go to a church service and it is normal, one of my greatest thrills is said to me often when I stand in the foyer of this church and somebody leaves and says, every time I come, I'm blessed. Because God intends for that to happen. God doesn't intend for you to come to church and mark time. He doesn't intend for you to come to church and it be normal. He intends to hijack you for His purpose, to take you out of a normal world and put you in an abnormal world. God intends to equip you more every time you come to His house. He intends to do something for you that's never been done before. He intends for you to have a thought you've never had before, to seize an opportunity that you've never seized before. That's what happens when Jesus goes to church. They had that church week after week and day after day in that synagogue. But when Jesus walked in and sat down for the first time, the first thing He noticed was limitation. God hates limitation. He is a God that has no limit, and so He wants His children to have no limit. Tear the roof off. Tear the ceiling off. Break down the walls. Come out. Be what God wants you to be. He looked across that congregation and He saw a nice man, a good man, a man that was just happy to be there, a man that was deep into the solace of his normality, just sitting there with his little withered hand hanging on his other arm, just sitting there. And Jesus looked at him and He said, I remember when I made him. I knew him before his mother's womb. That was not my design. That's not the way I formed him. The adversary has got in and withered his hand and limited his reach. Friend, if you are limited, it's not because God limited you. It's because there is an adversary that comes to steal and create and kill and destroy. But what you need to do is subscribe to the other guy. And the other guy is God Almighty. The God that was, the God that is, and the God that will be. The Alpha, the Omega, the author of life, the creator of you, the one that has known you since the eons of time. And when God sees you in limitation, He doesn't matter what He has to stop or interrupt. Those were solemn assemblies in those synagogues and temples. Nobody ever spoke out. Nobody chewed gum. There were no crying babies, no ushers that had to have order. Those people sat in there with great solemnity and just stared straight ahead. And when Jesus began to cause a disturbance, it was the first time ever in that synagogue there had been a disturbance. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to realize that there is a God that has fulfilled all laws. And so when He fulfills all laws, He can do anything. It's not lawful to give the children's bread to the dogs, but I can do it because I fulfill the law. It's not ethical or lawful to take a first-time visitor and give them a miracle when there's somebody sitting across the church that's been here 20 years, but He can do it because He fulfilled all law. What you've got to do is say, I am tired of my limitations. I want to stretch out here today. I want to take a hold of something I've never had. This little withered hand was probably numb. It had never felt what it's like to hold a hammer or to hold a nail or hold a cup and drink out of that hand. It had always been with the other hand, but that hand's about to have a revival. That hand's about to have a restoration. That hand's about to have a resurrection. There's somebody in this building tonight, praise God, that the weakest part of your body is about to become the strongest part of your body. There's somebody in this building that the weakest part of your life is going to become the strongest part of your life. That means if you've been broke all of your life, you're fixing to get rich. That means if you've been depressed, you're going to become the most encouraged person in the room, because God is here. And God said, I'm exposing my abundance to you, and I want you to discover today, because there's nothing that can hold you back. There's nothing that can hold you down. It's simply a revelation of the kind of God we serve. Can you give God some praise in this house? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room. Somebody here, God is making a difference in your life. It's going to be a different day from May the 2nd on. Praise God. You're never going to have another April like you just had. Those days are gone forever. God's taking you to a new place to do a new thing. And you're about to experience things that you've never known in all of your life. You need to get excited about it. Praise God. Oh, I feel God rubbing His super on my natural hair. I'm about to shout, praise God. I'm about to have a spill. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. The resurrection God is in this building. Give Him praise. Oh, hallelujah. Shikorama halalaboya. Jesus can watch limitation only so long before He has to give invitation to limitation. He looked at that guy, and the guy got nervous. Why is he looking at me? You remember when you first went to church? You thought everybody was looking at you? There wasn't nobody looking at you except Jesus, and He was looking right at you. That's what you felt. Jesus was looking at you because He saw in you the possibility. And the limitation broke His heart. He said, I'm going to unclothe them. I'm going to take off the rags of failure and put on them the garment of success. Jesus just kept looking at him. The guy got nervous. You don't whisper in a synagogue. Stretch forth your hand. What? Stretch forth. You back there, what are you saying? I simply told the man to stretch forth his hand. Religion will always rebuke the miraculous because the miraculous does not exalt religion, it exalts God. One more outburst like that, sir, and you'll be asked to leave. Stretch forth your hand. It's too late. The cat's out of the bag. It's too late. The miracle has begun to happen. There's some people that were going to try to hold you down. It's too late. The fingers are already moving. Pastor Brandon, the movement has already begun. It's too late. It's too late. It's too late. He just needs to be consider himself lucky that we don't ask him to leave. He's a cripple. Everybody's always got some prejudice, some bigotry. But friend, there is a God that does not recognize bigotry, hatred, envy, jealousy, limitation. All of that belongs in the other camp. He said, here's a man that is going to do great things, but he needs two hands to do them. Jesus knew what the man's future was, and he realized that his future was not a one-handed future. It was a two-handed future. And Jesus knows your future, and he knows that what you need to perform the expertise that he has set before you. And so he said, it's already begun. Jesus didn't have to say any more to cause a stir. Jesus didn't have to say any more to cause a revival. The man, the rabbi in the pulpit is now at a disadvantage because there is a man that is wiggling fingers that he couldn't wiggle before. There is a man there that's beginning to move his hand that he couldn't move before. And when Jesus said, stretch it out, friend, it was like a shot in a Sunday school room. Whoa. Suddenly that man began to stretch forth his hand. And friend, those people that could not believe but wanted to believe suddenly gave him his attention. Every church has people that cannot believe but they want to believe. And they are the fodder for revival. They want to believe. They want to believe. And suddenly Jesus is saying, stretch forth your hand. You have to realize this man was not in any danger before he met Jesus. He wasn't in pain. He wasn't about to die. A withered hand is just a withered hand. It won't kill you. It don't even hurt. It's just lifeless. As long as something doesn't cause you pain, and as long as something doesn't threaten your life, you will accommodate it. But you've got to get hungry enough to say, I just wonder what the abundance of God is like. I can do exactly what I'm doing. I can get up and go to work, work a job, get a paycheck, live in a nice little house, and drive a nice little car. But I just wonder what would happen if I ever tapped into God's abundance. Because God's called you more to be more than a get-along person. He's called you to be a superhero. He's called you to be a superstar. He's called you to be a disciple. He's called you to be a body healer. He's called you to be a devil chaser. He's called you to be a disciple maker. Praise God. God has called you for purpose in your life. But as long as we are comfortable, we won't do it. But there needs to be a hunger inside of us that says, I just wish I had both hands. I just wish I was 100%. Praise God. Jesus prayed for Peter's faith that it would not fail or shrink. In other words, it wouldn't get smaller. It would stretch out. All you need is one great stretch in your life, and your life will be changed forever. I've told you before about my friend Jerry B. Walker. Jerry B. Walker was an evangelist. He's dead now. But I used to preach at PTL in Charlotte, North Carolina regularly, and I'd go out and do the show, and I'd stay and preach five nights in what they called the barn, which was 5,000 people there every night. It'd be packed every night. It'd be great. Man, we had great times. And Jerry B. was there one night when I was preaching. And Jerry B., I let him say a couple words before I preached or maybe afterwards or whatever. He grabs the microphone and says, Pastor Steve is going to pray for everybody in this building and touch everybody personally. There's 5,000 people there, Jerry B. I could have hit him in the face. It's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm still laying hands on people. I asked somebody, I said, what is Jerry B.'s claim to fame? What did he ever do? They said, oh, you don't know Jerry B.'s story? Said he was preaching a little Assembly of God church years ago in Austin, Texas. And they brought a Down syndrome baby to him. And said he prayed for that baby and held it in his arms. And with 200 Assembly of God people watching, God worked a miracle. The baby's head returned to normal. The baby's body returned to normal. The baby was totally healed that night. It was a documented medical fact. And said Jerry B's been living on that one miracle ever since. Friend, I'm going to tell you that God wants to do something so significant in your life in the first week of May that it will give you momentum and movement and projection for months and weeks and years to come. Praise God. You say, oh, I'm going to try to get that Sunday. I'm telling you, you got about 10 minutes to get it right now. And God's in this building, and God is saying to somebody, stretch out, stretch out, stretch out. Do something you've never, ever done. Now, I will admit to you, and I will confess to you, the farther you go in your spiritual journey, the more difficult it is to climb the bigger mountain and have the bigger and to have the bigger miracle. Because why? Because you have to do something you've never done before. And that gets harder and harder because you've already done everything you know to do. You've already preached your best sermon, sang your best song, gave your best testimony, put forth your best praise, wrote your best check. But praise God, you got to think about it. You got to think about it. You got to think about it. How many times did I think I didn't have the money, but when the tax man came, I had the money. I found it somewhere. You always think you can't do it, but I'm telling you, there's things you've never done in your life, and God is calling somebody on a Wednesday night to stretch out, to shout like you've never shouted, to sing like you've never sung, to praise God like you've never praised, to love your enemy. You need to find the person that you dislike the most and just cover them with love. You said, oh, I can't do that. That's what I'm talking about. That's the reason why you've got a withered hand. But God is saying, stretch out. Stretch out, stretch out. Why don't you just figure out what you're going to do tomorrow for the person you like the least on your job? I dare you to take them $20 in a nice card and just hand it to them. It will mess their day up, but oh, praise God, it will make your day. You say, but that would be painful. That's the reason why we don't like to stretch. It hurts to stretch. We just go to our limit and say, oh, there's a little pain there. I better quit. I hate to go. I used to go work out and get a trainer and they'd stretch you. I quit that stuff. That hurt. I just decided I would limit my movements rather than go through the pain of some guy stretching me out. That's what we all do. That's the reason why we settle for too little in life. It's one thing to do it physically, but it's something dastardly to do it spiritually when you just keep receding more and more, stretching less and less, when God is saying, oh, I wish you could see my abundance. I wish you could see what I have prepared for you. I've got things prepared for you you've never thought about, never talked about, never known. All it requires is for you to act on my word. And I'm saying tonight, to stretch out. And when you do, you're going to have a Thursday like you've never had in your life, a Friday like you've never seen. Praise God. God's getting ready to do something wonderful in your life. Hallelujah. I'm one third done and I'm out of time. Would you stand to your feet? Praise God. There's somebody in this audience right now that has never really discovered the abundance of God. Friend, I am amazed at the abundance of God that I have found, because I was not taught that in the churches where I grew up. They never talked about the God of abundance. They always talked about the God of judgment and the God of fear. And all we want to do was just squeak by and not go to hell. We heard it every week. Every week. We didn't hear about the love of God. We didn't hear about the provision of God. We never heard about the abundance of God. And God had to take me on a long journey, day by day, week by week, hour by hour, study by study, sermon by sermon, to reveal to me that He is a good God, that His love cannot be measured that He has for me, and that He will withhold no good thing from me. The Pentecostals have had a heyday, making fun of the Church of Christ because they don't believe in healing. And they said, the Church of Christ, they don't believe God can heal you. The Charismatic came along preaching prosperity, and the Pentecostals had the same attitude about prosperity that the Church of Christ had about healing. It's so easy to see that you're denying the abundance, that they're denying the abundance in somebody else, but it's so difficult to see it in yourself. I want to tell you tonight that God wants to make you a spiritual giant. God wants to make you an overcomer. He wants to make you where not one weapon formed against you has any success. He wants to make you where you prosper, where you never ever again have to worry about money. Oh, I don't believe in that prosperity message. Then you don't believe in the abundance of God. Read about Abraham and Solomon and David. Not one of them on welfare. Never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I'm telling you that God is an abundant God. And God stands and hangs over this church tonight. And He said, I don't expect, because I've seen it too long. Everybody's not going to stretch out tonight. But God said, if I just had one woman, one man to stretch out their hand, I would do a miracle in their life that would change their them forever, and it would be just as good and as exciting as somebody getting saved. Friend, I'm taking it to the limits, and then I'm kicking the limits off. I'm going to the roof, and then I'm tearing the shingles off. I'm going to the window, and then I'm knocking down the door. I'm saying, God, I want your abundance. You said you would withhold no good thing from me. I'm going to stretch my praise. I'm going to stretch my prayer. I'm going to stretch my faith. I'm going to stretch my giving until, praise God, I'm the talk of the church. We don't know who the priest was or the rabbi in that meeting, but we know about the man that stretched out. God wants to make you the talk of the church. He wants to make you the conversation of your family. He wants to make you the conversation piece on your job, not because you went through something bad, but because you are literally walking and you are enshrouded by God's abundance. And people say, how did you do that? And you say, because I found a God that is abundant beyond my understanding. It was a revelation. Can you give God some praise in this house tonight? Is there anybody in this building tonight that realizes that you're bumping up to your ceiling, that you've come to your limitation, and you said, God, I want to break through tonight. I want to go beyond tonight. I want to go to a new place tonight. I'm better than I used to be, but I ain't nowhere ways what you want me to be. And God, here I come running down this aisle, and I'm going to step into a new faith and a new expectation in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord an applause. Give the Lord a dance. Give the Lord a praise. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I call it done in these people's lives tonight, God. They're going to discover the abundance that is only